Here's Mark Packer and Wes Doran.
Now we go to beautiful Virginia, right? We go to the ranch. We're going to chill and grill with the head football coach of your Virginia Cavaliers, Bronco Mendenhall. And look at this dude, chilling and grilling on the back porch. Coach, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about y'all?
Well, I mean, we're not doing better than you. I can tell you that. Before we get started with Wes Durham, though, we've heard about this ranch. We need a shot of Ace and Coco real quick. Can we get an Ace and Coco? All right, here we go. Look at this. There they are.
Oh, my gosh.
There they are. Ace and Coco. Is that great?
Look at that.
Wow, that's beautiful.
I tell you what.
Padres are over there in that barn right there eating breakfast. But Ace and Coco, they're having their tribute breakfast to both of you. You can choose which one each of you want to be. But I'm kind of thinking Ace looks like the little older of the two of you, and Coco looks like the younger of the two of you. So that's just my opinion.
I would be Coach, I'm going to be Ace. I'm going to just take ownership of that from the get-go, because anybody that's chilling out, just, hey, it's 9:02, you're having breakfast, going slow. That sounds like me. So I'm going to go Ace. My partner will be Coco on this one.
Yeah. In fact, yeah. I might change the name of your show.
Ace and Coco. Oh, I love it. That's fantastic.
I've always thought that it was beautiful property, and now you've confirmed to us how gorgeous it is. So, I would say, how are things been? But I know it's been different, Bronco. I know it's been difficult at times just to kind of project what's going to happen here. Now you're to a point, though, where I guess, you know, this process has got to start, right?
You know, I think it's still debatable if the process has to start. For anyone that I think wants to participate in college football, we're getting to that point. Required workouts, and that model that the NCAA has approved, those are in motion. And so our players will be returning July the 5th. And on our team, I've made it just simply optional for all those that want to participate. I'm going to coach the team and do the very best I can, keeping them safe and keeping them well and keeping them growing and progressing through these unique and challenging times. And for our players that aren't returning, there's no penalty. They'll have their scholarships. I'm anxious to continue to develop and navigate this process at the very highest level and try to do what's right.
We had one of your guys, Charles Snowden, on the show, and I mean, incredibly impressive, which is no surprise. I mean, you go to University of Virginia, you got to do the work academically, you got to be able to perform athletically, and he represents that in every sense of the word. But to listen to Charles talk about what we are doing right now in terms of up and above football, Coach, pretty impressive that student athletes are now really taking ownership and understanding their platform to speak out on multiple issues. I'm curious, you mentioned the fact July 5th is when everybody's coming back, and if you're ready to play, let's go. If not, totally understand. The flip side to all this, of course, is getting a great degree. But your take on not only what Charles Snowden is doing, but a number of your other players in terms of the social responsibilities.
Yeah, the social responsibilities and the choices, all of us get to make are apparent and right in front of us. And to have opportunity lost to not speak to what you truly believe and take action, I think the reality is, as leaders, right, all we're trying to do at the deepest level is develop these kids to be competent, prepared, and able when their beliefs align with an opportunity to then have an impact. And man, right now, besides the pandemic, with the social issues that are happening around the country, I've been amazed and so impressed at the action our players are taking, how well spoken they are, how courageous they are, and how articulate in determining and defining their beliefs. And I'm just really proud of them.
You've always had a program that, while it is about football, you take the qualities of football and make it so much more than just the games, right? It's kind of in my mind, what one of the pillars and foundations of your program is just quality development of people. Now, as you've negotiated with your staff all of this stuff in the last 12 weeks or so, what have you learned? What do you see now about the qualities of the game that could have much more impact than maybe we suspect on the surface?
Well, I think it's all just brought to light right now where if we are going to come together, we're going to come together to do what, right? So an activity unites people, and challenge unites people, and hardship unites people. And so if there can be a significant why to connect people, then all of a sudden the personal choices become more collective consciousness, right? Collective and community awareness. And so the game of football at this time, it wouldn't be playing football for the sake of football, at least not at the University of Virginia. This is playing a game almost in defiance of something that's so overpowering to show that a collective group of people can make powerful choices and navigate something in a positive way, and a meaningful way that actually deepens relationships and kind of perpetuates personal growth. And so that to me is an opportunity that can't be lost, and it has very little to do with football. And I love development of young people, and I love development of really anyone, and building a culture that can magnify the best of what we all have to offer usually is displayed in moments of challenge and crisis, and that's where we are.
All right, I'm going to switch gears a little bit with you and go to football. And I know you mentioned that July 5th is the date for everybody to show up, do their thing. Quarterback, it always starts at quarterback. You've been fortunate in the last couple of years. Bryce Perkins was sensational. You win the Coastal Division last year. But really the million-dollar question for all of us is, all right, what's Virginia going to look like at quarterback? How can you answer that on June 26th?
Yeah, and I think that it's fair, right? Preseason rankings and outcomes usually start with one position of disproportionate value, right? And what you said is the quarterback position. So we had Kirk Bank 2 years that started us, and then now Bryce Perkins. So I actually love our quarterback position. Brennan Armstrong has been Bryce Perkins' backup, so I felt like we've had two really good quarterbacks ready the past two seasons. So Brennan Armstrong I really like. And then we brought in a graduate transfer from Mississippi State, who is more aligned maybe with the Bryce Perkins skill set. And so, again, I think to win the Coastal and to compete effectively at the highest level of college football, you have to have two quarterbacks. And so that's what we've done. And I like the depth. I like the ability. And I'm really encouraged about the possibilities, even though not many people know about either one of them.
Bronco, how important, though, is what you've done in the previous 4 years to now get to a point where you lose a guy who was so critical to what you did in Bryce Perkins on offense? And I guess even to a degree, a little bit of the reactionary passage that happened a year ago when Bryce Hall went down in the secondary, and yet your defense still flourished. I mean, how much of year five becomes about the first 4 years in just the development of the program as a whole at those positions?
You know, there'll be mixed answers there. From my perspective, I think the culture and the confidence and what we've established will hold more than what those that are predicting where we'll finish in the Coastal before the season will predict, right? Because it's still quarterback oriented. Mm-hmm. Our defense is returning lots and lots of experience. Our offensive front finally, and our defensive front give us a great chance to compete against anyone. And so I think culturally we're very, very strong, and that reflects 4 years worth of work. The biggest question, as you mentioned, is at quarterback. But confidence is not an issue. And self-concept with our team is not an issue. So they're excited and capable and ready and believe they can compete. And quite frankly, we're disappointed that we lost against Florida in the Orange Bowl, and really believe that we had a great chance to win that game. And so, If it's possible for there to be momentum or confidence gained in defeat, I think that's what happened in our last football game.
Bronco, I noticed that football coaches in particular always look for things to motivate their team. I suspect you don't have to go far just to pull out any magazine or a radio show or a TV show and say, man, look at this. They got us picked seventh in the Coastal. How much of that time, again, I know the answer coming, so I almost hate to ask you this. You're going to say, oh, Pac, we don't worry about that outside noise. But coaches know, man. Coaches know when everybody's going, man, they're not going to be any good this year. They lost all Bryce Perkins. They can't even move the ball. How much of that comes into play here?
Certainly some. Bryce Perkins was 78.5% of our offense last year. So, yeah, the easy answer for Virginia is, oh, they lost Bryce, so they won't be any good. But for those that look a little deeper and actually do their research and really invest in our program, I think they'll see it different. I think I saw one article that gave us a 1% chance to win the Coastal. So I did share that with my team, and you can imagine their reaction.
All right. I know this back porch is gorgeous, by the way. It's by far the best back porch we've seen on the history of Packer and Durham, that we're almost 160 shows in. I just want that on the record. Real quick, I know you read a lot. So what is the best book you've read during the pandemic?
Oh, it's been interesting. I was just talking with Holly about this. I've reread more during the pandemic than I've read. And really, in place of that, I've joined two professional learning groups. And man, on those groups, there are military leaders and authors and researchers and scholars. And then you throw in a football coach, and man, it's been fascinating. And so it's been more discussion in relation to life experiences of what some of the presenters have had, and they're authors, and they've written great books. But I've really enjoyed that format more during this off season than I have just been immersed in the pages, and that says a lot because I normally default to that. However, one of my all time favorite books that I just pulled out is called Dear and Glorious Physician, and it was recommended by my mom a long time ago, and so I'm starting to reread that and kind of in a tribute to her.
Very cool. Hey, give some extra hay,
awesome.
Some extra hay and grass to my man Ace out there, and throw a couple extras to Coco. We appreciate it. Here they are.
Oh, look at that!
That's gorgeous.
Holy cow!
Awesome.
Hey, thanks, Coach. Best to your family. We appreciate it as always.
Good to see you guys.
Right.
Thanks,
Bronco Mendenhall. You bet. Head football coach of the Virginia Cavaliers, one of our favorites on this show, and always great stuff, right, from the head man at Virginia. Stay tuned. When we come back, John Swofford will spend some moments with Packer and Durham day after he announced his retirement at the end of the 2021 athletic campaign. We will talk to the commissioner right after this.
This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Friday morning, 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. Many thanks to Bronco Mendenhall from the ranch and also David Teal from the Richmond Times-Dispatch, who joined us earlier. But right now we bring on the commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference. That would be Mr. John Swofford. Commissioner, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pac. How are you? Wes, hope you're both well.
We're doing fine. First of all, before we get into anything, congratulations, number one, on the announcement yesterday and an incredible run. I know you still have work to do, but as I mentioned to you prior, I can't wait to read the book. You have been through some amazing stories as a player and athletic director, and obviously as the commissioner of the ACC, now through 24 years coming up. So congratulations on really an amazing run.
Mark, thank you. I feel very privileged to have had the opportunity to be in this league my entire career, really, at two different great institutions, and then in the conference office and working with all of our institutions. And it's been a real blessing. So it's I'll be leaving with a great deal of appreciation for the many people that I've had the opportunity to work with and the great schools that I've had the opportunity to work with.
Commissioner, you indicated yesterday that that you and your wife, Nora, have been talking about this for a couple of years. Take us through that process, because I think that, you know, starting is easy. Stopping sometimes can sometimes bring about questions and that type thing. What was that discussion about with your family about, okay, do we get to this certain point and this is a good spot for us and we're comfortable with it type deal?
You know, Wes, our discussion was basically that. When's the right time for us on a personal basis and a family basis? You know, you look at it to some degree as when's the best time work-wise. Certainly, it's important to me that the conference be in great shape as I leave, and I think it is. It's well-positioned for the future. You talk a little bit about, you know, when's the next big challenge over with? And in reality, the challenges will always be there. That's what I figured out pretty quickly when we started having these discussions as to when was the right time. The challenges are always going to be there. It's just which ones they will be. And obviously with something like the pandemic as a great example, you don't ever know exactly what they will be necessarily, but they'll be there. So you can't really try to time it in a way where there aren't any real challenges, because the challenges are going to be there forever. They've always been there. They always will be. So that really dawned on me as we look through this. And we just felt like this was the right time all the way around, you know, to almost a quarter of a century is plenty for any one thing, I suppose. So we're blessed looking backwards. We're blessed looking forwards as well. And I told somebody yesterday, anytime you can have a career and wherever you were, you never wished you were somewhere else, that's pretty special. And that's the way I felt at Virginia. It's the way I felt at North Carolina. It's the way I felt in Greensboro and the ACC.
Have you spoken to Jim Delaney about retirement yet? Because, I mean, I know you've now made this official, but, you know, he goes 30 years with the Big Ten. He's got those North Carolina ties. He's out there fishing, playing golf, doing whatever he's doing. But if you talk to him just to get some notes and say, hey, you know, maybe I want to hang around here for another year or two.
I have spoken with Jim. And Jim and I have known each other for a long time. Since we were in college together, although I want to point out that he's a year older than me. I want to make sure I get that in. But, you know, yes, Jim's always been a great guy to bounce things off of, and he had a tremendous career in the Big Ten, and sometimes we were competing with each other, but we were always good friends. And so I've spoken with him and others who have retired and gone through that. And Nora and I felt like that would be a good part of the process to go through, is talk to some people that have recently transitioned and been in a similar type of leadership position, not necessarily in sports, but certainly when it's somebody that's in sports, you can connect in a pretty special kind of way. So, yeah, that's definitely been part of the process.
Commissioner, as we celebrate kind of the last run here of your leadership within the ACC, Mark and I were talking, and you just mentioned challenges, and the pandemic has presented many. But we talked to you about a month and a half ago, and since then we've talked to coaches and athletic directors across the footprint of the league. And to a person, they keep coming back to the teamwork, the communication, the collaborative effort that has gone on in this league, whether it be coaches on Zoom calls, ADs on Zoom calls. I know CEOs and presidents and chancellors have all been involved as well. This has been a most revealing time for the ACC to see true teamwork take shape to get ready for this academic and hopefully full athletic year as well.
Wes, it has been, and that's been very gratifying. In the first conversations we had when all of this began back in March, I told our group, communication is going to be critical, collaboration is going to be critical. We're not going to be able to go about our business in a normal way. Plus, we're dealing with something we never envisioned and never thought we would be dealing with. So there's no roadmap, so to speak. There's no book that tells us how to do it. So we're going to have to be together on this within the league first and foremost. And I'm really proud of our staff and the job they have done. I'm really proud of our presidents and athletic directors and coaches because they've come together beautifully. And these are people that are used to competing against each other, as you well know. So it really has been gratifying. And the other aspect of this that's been gratifying is the communication of the conferences, and particularly the A5 conferences. And I think I told you before when we were talking that the A5 commissioners have a call daily, and we have since this all started. We do take the weekends off, but it's been I've never seen the collaboration among the five conferences. It's normally good. It's outstanding right now.
Commissioner, what piece of advice would you give the fifth commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference, whoever that may possibly be? What would be the one thing you would tell him or her?
You know, I think the first thing and most important thing I would tell them, and they'll know what to do. They're not going to need to hear from me. But the one thing that I have always felt is so important in any organization that you're a part of and trying to lead is pay attention to the culture. And that gets back to the people aspect of it, the relationship aspect of it, the value aspect of it, and what do you want that to be? Because if the culture is good and well defined and people know what the culture is, you can bring people together and deal with just about any problem that you're going to face. If you don't have that healthy culture, you're going to have problems dealing with anything else that does come up. And one of the things that has been great about the Atlantic Coast Conference for decades has been that it's had a terrific culture of cooperation, of respect within the league, of being able to sit around the AD table or the president's table or a coach's table, understand that you're competing with against each other on the field and the court and so forth. But that there's certain aspects of it that are values that are really important, and that helps you make decisions that are in the best interest of the whole. At times when there may be times when the decision might not be best for a particular institution in the short term, but it's best for the league as a whole in the long term, and therefore ultimately is best for the institution. So if you know, my advice would be first and foremost to pay attention to the culture, protect it, because it's a terrific culture.
Commissioner, you told us a year ago when you were kind enough to let us do our SiriusXM show from your office that one of the qualities you thought was most beneficial in your chair was being a good listener. As you get ready to embark on this final year, how important will it be to listen, but also maybe to say, hey, by the way, you might want to think about this or you might want to think about that in your final turn, if you will?
I suspect that's a natural. If you're, Wes, if you're leaving something that you've been a part of for a long time, you start thinking about, well, if I were staying another 2 years or 5 years, what would I be looking at? What would I be hoping to accomplish? So I suspect some of that would come up. I can't tell you that I've thought about that at this point in time, but I think it would be probably natural to think about that. And you said it the right way. It would be, you might want to think about, because, you know, when the next person comes in, she or he, it's his or hers to run, not mine. And, I'm a firm believer, I'll be around, with the transition to help if asked and if needed. But if not, that's okay too. And, I always appreciated how terrific Gene Corrigan was when he transitioned out of the job and I came in, because he, you know, he didn't try to intercede or influence anything from day one unless I asked. And I asked fairly often, because Gene and I had a great relationship, and you know the history there of him giving me my first job in sports. And so that went back a long way. So we had a great relationship, but he never intruded in any way, shape, or form unless I asked him to. And as I said, I did ask him to on occasion, and called him often, literally the entire time of my tenure, until he unfortunately passed away a few months ago. But so, you know, I'll be very careful about that, because I think that's the way it should be and the way it will be.
I know you still have work to do. Obviously, this COVID-19 has caused a huge issue for everybody. We've got name, image, and likeness, which is front and center, coming up in January. And this is probably not apropos to ask you, because you're still alive and kicking and got work to do, like I said. But when you look back, Commissioner, of the 23-plus years, is there a moment that you look back at that run and go, you know what, this was a critical juncture for me personally and the league, and we did a great job accomplishing X? What is X?
I'd have to say expansion, because there's so many other things that wouldn't have happened had we not expanded. That was something that was critical to the league, and some people understood it at the time and some people didn't. And that's understandable. But looking back at it, there's so many things that would not have occurred had we not taken the steps along the way to expand the league and strengthen our footprint and strengthen ourselves from a football standpoint while maintaining basketball. So expansion would be the one word answer to that. The grant of media rights came along with that ultimately, and that was critical. The Orange Bowl agreement came along with that, and that was critical. The ACC network came along with that ultimately. That would never have happened without expansion. So in a nutshell, expansion, with those few caveats I added to it, that came about because of expansion.
I got to follow up real quick. You mentioned hold on a second. I got to follow up this real quick, because the commissioner hit a nerve. Yesterday, I was talking to Steve Hatchell on the radio show, and I asked him about you, Commissioner. And the first thing he said was, when I was running the Orange Bowl, John was running the athletic department in North Carolina. Mac Brown had just taken over. He said, I went up there to visit with these guys. They invited me down on the field. He goes, I got a beautiful suit on. I'm in Keenan Stadium. I'm walking down the sideline. He said, the biggest cop known to man shows up, grabs me by the shoulder, and says, excuse me, sir, what are you doing here? He said, well, I was invited by John Swofford. I'm here to go see Mac Brown. He said, next thing you know, the guy escorted Steve Hatchell out of the building. Out of here. And he said he got a thank you note from you, Mac Brown, who was coming off a 1-10 season. And he says, man, a lot of those folks in Chapel Hill, well, they were difficult to work with, and it's all because of Swofford.
I knew where you were going as soon as you said Steve Hatchell was on the show. He loves to tell that story, and the unfortunate part of it is it's only embellished slightly. It's basically true. But anytime so Mac's name comes up or my name comes up, that's where Steve goes. That's the first thing he has to talk about.
So of course we had to have some kind of agreement with the Orange Bowl, the way you treated him when you were running at North Carolina. I mean, we had to get the Orange Bowl back on our side, for crying out loud.
it took a long time back.
Commissioner, I don't think Mark and I have a punch list of things we'd like to see happen before you step away. Although I think if we ever get back to normal, Pack, we'd like to have a basement visit at some point, wouldn't we?
We would. And I have already mentioned to Billy Packer and Commissioner, I wrote you a note yesterday. I don't know if you've read it yet. But before you decide to go play golf and hang out with the, or the grandkids. We got to get Billy in here and have you and Billy and negotiate the 1974 NC State Maryland C.D. Chesley tape, which is sitting right here behind me. We've got to get that deal done before you decide to go play golf all day.
Boy, you think we could get that negotiated in one show?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Good. That'd be good. Right. I was afraid it might take a week or something.
No.
I know how Billy negotiates.
Commissioner.
That's true.
Yeah, well, that's fair. I would say this. It might be just slightly easier than expansion. How's that?
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. I'm really looking forward to that.
Again, congratulations on everything you've accomplished, and good luck for the next year, because this is going to be certainly a challenge coming up, no question.
As I said earlier, the challenges never go away, and we certainly have some immediately in front of us.
Thanks, Commissioner. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Enjoyed being with you. You guys are the best.
All right. Appreciate it. John Swofford, the Commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference, here with Packer and Durham. We're into the final half hour of the week's shows. We'll come back, react a little bit to what the Commissioner said, and also look ahead to what might be an interesting week ahead for ACC schools. Bronco Mendenhall just sharing with us a moment ago that week after next, he will welcome football players back to the University of Virginia. But John Swofford, his run, comes up at the end of the upcoming academic year. We'll touch on that after this on ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. Hey, Fuller. What's up? All right. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the show. John Swofford, Wes.
Yes, sir.
And I want to say this right, because, I mean, there's been so many accolades coming out, almost as if, hey, he's done. I can't emphasize again, this may be as critical a year ahead as college athletics has faced ever, given COVID-19 and name, image, and likeness. So, you know, before everybody says, oh, that's great, he did A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know, as he said, there's never an end of challenges, and there may not be a more challenging year ahead in college athletics than what we are about ready to jump into as we speak.
Yeah, no doubt, and I think that's what he is cognizant of, maybe more so than just about anybody else, and he's the one who announced his retirement, right? You know, I'm looking ahead, Mark, and you and I both know we follow this enough from a lot of different angles here. There are some nervous moments right now on college campuses with the way the virus has kind of reset itself a little bit in parts of this country. You know, you're hearing a lot of things out of like Arizona. You're hearing a lot of things out of certain places in the country that are concerning. And there are a lot of things being written. Some of it taking quotes from folks, sources, that kind of thing. This road's far from complete of what the 2020-2021 athletic calendar is going to look like. And I think nobody realizes that more than Commissioner. And that's an important characteristic and quality to have right now. Not, hey, by the way, I'm retiring, you know, see you in the spring type deal. This is somebody that understands the job is still very much at hand. And the leadership and all the things that have gone into his experience are going to be counted for here in this last year.
And nothing makes that even more pertinent is the fact that, you know, the movers and shakers, we keep talking about the Power Five commissioners, Jack Swarbrick at Notre Dame, constant communication. I mean, this is a daily head-on swivel. Hey, you got to be up to speed, because what it looks like today, it'll be liable to be completely different 24 hours from now. So really a critical time for everybody in college athletics, from not only coaches, players, administrators, I'd even go as far to say from media partners. I mean, you know, we work here at ESPN, and you start talking about what you've got to plan moving forward in terms of games and what's going to happen, what's possibly not going to happen, different types of scenarios that are going to be in play here. So it's, again, a fascinating time that we're living in, from not only from a business aspect with college athletics, but also from a social standpoint. And we've talked about, you know, the racial unrest a bunch with the student athletes and name, image, and likeness, which is right around the corner and having to be discussed and figured out one way or the other. So there is a ton of work to be done across the board for everybody, not only here in the ACC, but really nationwide.
Yeah, and I think, too, we're starting to see, as some of these campuses open back up, even on limited capacities and things like that, of what the challenges are going to be. And it's going to be incumbent upon every institution. We didn't get a chance to talk to the commissioner at length about that board of directors we mentioned with David Teal or some of the other things that have happened in terms of conference work. But I believe that these calls and the communication that they're having, whether it be CEOs or athletic directors, chancellors, presidents, however that falls, this is going to be, and you said this last week, and I think it's well said, this is getting ready to be one of the more critical 5 weeks of college football, to be honest, between now and, what, let's say the 1st or 2nd of August, Mark? You know, it's important. It's going to be really important because any kind of hesitation 5 weeks from now is probably going to signal a hesitation in the start of what we would know as the regular college football schedule.
Well, once the NCAA gave the green light for practice schedules and a routine, which coaches are constantly looking for routines. I know we just had Bronco Mendenhall on 40 minutes ago, and he said, hey, July 5th, guys are showing up, and if you're not comfortable, hey, your scholarship's still going to be honored. Everybody's operating at a different pace here, too. Again, not only the state's different, the schools are different. The testing and the numbers that we've heard have been different. So, you start fast-forwarding the clock here for the next couple of weeks when all of a sudden practices are scheduled to start, workouts are scheduled to start. Who knows what this is going to look like? Like I said, much less June 26th. How about July 26th before some decisions need to be reached? So there's still time, but man, there are so many unknowns. So many.
Yeah. Yeah. No question about it. And I think that all these schools now have a heightened sense of, I don't want to use the word urgency, but there is that feel, right, Mark? I mean, that look, we got to get it done, and we got to get it done from a lot of perspectives, the health and safety perspective being one of them, and an understanding perspective is the other. You know, how does the quarantine process work? How does the testing and screening process work? You know, I know you've got college kids like I do, and I'm hearing from my kids about, you know, how classes are going to be conducted, the potential idea of rotations and systems and things like that. There's a lot of things to be done here. And yes, this week, we've seen stories and reports about fans and so forth. Well, all that ultimately is going to come back either through state government or it's going to come back through conference affiliations and conference, you know, ideas and solutions and that kind of thing. And that's kind of where this crossroads is going to collide. And hopefully it means we have games, and hopefully it means there are fans at games. How many? I don't know. But at the same time, we get our arms around this thing.
Again, has never been a more interesting time to see college athletics and really sports in general. It's not just a college thing. It's sports, period. As I said yesterday, I thought it was kind of a good news, bad news with the Kentucky Derby saying, hey, we're good to go. We will have limited spectators. On the flip side, the NFL says, hey, we're going to pass on this Hall of Fame game, and they kicked that to the curb. So, again, for anybody that says, hey, I know what's going to happen, no, you don't. It's June 26th. We all have to do better in terms of being safe and all that good stuff in the meantime, and hopefully we'll have a season.
Yep, hope so as well. When we come back, final segment of the week, another quarantine confessional. This one from our friend Kelly Gramlich, who, by the way, a couple weeks ago during a Zoom call with the ACC Network was on the way to birdieing the first hole during the midst of our Zoom call. We'll hear from Kelly's and her confession. And a Tar Heel legend retires after 22 years in the NBA. All that and more next on ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, final segment of the week. It's been an interesting week. Great guests, as usual. Awesome job by everybody back in Bristol, Connecticut. But we always have a – what's the matter there, boss? What's up there, Coco? What do you got?
All right. A couple things here we got to get into the – got to get into the well in this final segment. Okay, we started this show with the fact that you're having trouble shaving this week. Is that right?
I haven't had any trouble.
You've had some issues shaving.
I have not had any trouble shaving. I just keep cutting myself. Yeah, not good.
I mean, what's going on? Well, I mean, why? What's the issue with the chin?
Well, the issue is I don't, you know, number one, I hate to shave. It's the only downside to this job is shaving, all right? You know, I told you I'm on the anti-TV guy. I don't care what my hair looks like. If I cut myself shaving, I'll stick some toilet tissue on it. I don't worry about it. I am low maintenance when it comes to all this stuff. So, right. You know, I'll try to do better next week.
All right, good. Number two, you made some comments when this show was created and announced by ACC Network. We said that we would not wear blazers. Well, we broke that during the Q series because of the Kentucky Derby. We had on coat and ties and all sorts of things. But the day we were announced in the Spectrum Center in Charlotte, you intimated to people that we would, that the biggest change for you in doing television was you were going to have to wear pants.
I did say that.
Right?
Yeah.
And this week? Specifically today?
Yeah, no pants.
What are we
no,
doing?
No pants, no what shoes. Are, got my dog right here. It's Fuller down what? Here. So, I'm chilling, man. What do you expect? I'm relaxed. I'm more relaxed than Bronco Mendenhall back there looking at the farm.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, why are you surprised? I mean,
right.
You know, you should be fortunate I got a button down on. They told me how to wear a shirt, and they were right about that.
Did somebody tell you were a rockette at some point and you decided to show us all your legs?
I'm comfortable. I'm in my house. What do you want me to do? I'm chilling out. I got the dogs with me. Chester's over here. You can't see Chester. He's in the green room on the chair. Fuller's right here underneath my feet, and I'm relaxed. Mm. So, I mean, you know.
All right. Okay.
I mean, I got nothing to hide.
This would also be a good time.
I'm telling you, I got nothing to hide.
Apparently, we have nothing to hide. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't tell if those were legs or out-of-bounds stakes on a golf course. But anyway, we move on.
Okay, Coco, relax.
By the way, a couple of notes here. First of all, congratulations to Vince Carter. 22 years in the NBA. He announced his retirement yesterday on his podcast with Annie Finberg on The Ringer. Congratulations to Vince Carter on an unbelievable career. And by the way, next year in the NBA will be the first season in 55 years without a Dean Smith player on an NBA roster. That is a crazy stat, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Totally agree with that. And, of course, we had our Vince Carter tribute over the weekend here on ACC Network, which was outstanding.
Yep. All right. Second piece of news. Your beloved San Francisco Giants are taking applications now for cutouts of season ticket holders and loyal fans to be placed at Oracle Park during games this year.
I am not a season ticket holder, but if I lived out there, I definitely would be. And I may just send them a photo anyhow and just say, put me up there in the Euchre seat, and we'll live vicariously that way. That may be an opportunity for us.
Okay. All right. Good. Time for the quarantine confessional. This Friday, Kelly Grambling.
Hey guys, hey Pac, hey Wes. So I hear you are wondering what I've been doing in this quarantine, and I saw Mac's video with his HGTV, I saw Monica with her ice cream sandwiches, I saw Roddy with his adorable kids, and so I thought, okay, how can I make myself look cool? And then I thought, Kelly, you're not that cool, so I'm just going to be honest with you. I have been reading a lot. So I've had a little bit of a book club going on with myself and some other people, but I've got some books here that I've read, so many different things. I love World War II era fiction, but based on a true story. We've got some Christian books in here. And then my absolute favorite genre is a good memoir. The best book I've read is called Educated by Tara Westover. Probably my favorite book of all time. Just an excellent memoir. And I'm currently reading Born a Crime by Trevor Noah, which is an excellent book, also really, really funny. So basically, this whole video is just to say, Pat, Wes, if you want to join my book club, let's start one right here, right now. We can do it. If you don't answer, I'll take it as a yes. But if you do answer, then here we go. Packer and Durham and Kelly doing a book club. But anyway, thanks for having me, guys.
I don't want no stinking book club. No, I don't. I mean, we got things
no
to
book
do.
Club.
You know, I was hoping that
good,
Kelly. I was hoping that Kelly was going to say, "Pack, you see that state of Texas thing up behind me? How about you come on down there to Death Valley? We'll do a little brisket out on the grill." That's what I was kind of hoping Kelly was going to say. Or, "Hey, Pack, can you help me water my plastic plant, which somehow has disappeared in every Kelly appearance on the show? I mean, I can't find the plastic plant anymore."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No book club, though. I mean, right? No book club?
I just said. Are you listening, Coco? Listen. No book club. We got things to do. Plus, I'm working already on that second concept for ACC Network about the Breaking Bread with Pac-Man.
Oh.
That show. I'm already working on that one. So I don't have time for no stinking book club.
All right.
We got things to do.
I already told you. All right. Let me ask two questions real quick. One, didn't I tell you that 3-day weekend with Jess Roy is the show, the record for that, in the ACC network?
That show's and number over. Two, that show's over.
And number two, you got to wear pants when you do a show like that.
You know what? That could break the deal. I got to be honest with you. That could break the deal with these bad boys.
There
right
we
here.
Go. Look. Great. Yeah. What a unique pleasure. Thanks to thanks to Bronco Mendenhall, thanks to David Teal, and thanks to Commissioner John Swofford for joining us on today's show. For Ginger Rogers, Drew Brooks, Josh Macri, Jen, our director, we hope you have a wonderful weekend. Please, please have some pants on tomorrow.
No,
or Monday,
tomorrow
rather.
Is Saturday.
If you missed any of the show,
you have no chance that Saturday that's happening. None. Zero. Monday, I'll try to do better.
If you missed any of the shows, there'll be a podcast available, Packer and Durham podcast, available on the ESPN app or wherever you download your favorite podcast. If you missed any of the show, stay tuned. It's on the replay on ACC Network or also on SiriusXM 371. Have a great weekend, Ace.
See you.
Take care,
one.
Everybody.
This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claim service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.